Today, markets gain ground despite choppy trading. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I've made this post covering finance and property news. And this is our weekly market update, where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia. And let me say, this is a calm and methodical summary, not a shouty content-like thing, which might be all the rage on some social media channels, but for me, this does not cut the mustard, as I use my analysis to help me understand what is really going on. Well, riotous August ended with the global stocks edging higher in choppy trading on Friday, making it the fourth consecutive month of gains. MSCI's World Share Index rose 0.77% for a 2.4% monthly gain. This despite some questions over AI leading to a broadening of interest in other sectors, a bout of heavy selling in early August, and more support for gold as a safe haven. All this despite US economic data that helped the dollar snap a week-long losing streak. US markets will be closed, by the way, on September the 2nd for the Labor Day holiday, so we can expect rudderless trading on Monday. The S&P 500 ended the final session of the week higher with a late spike, as the latest batch of data pointed to an ever-resilient US consumer, potentially slowing the pace of rate cuts. The benchmark S&P 500 closed August with a 2.3% gain for the month, and it's up 18.4% so far this year and is within a 0.4% of the all-time high that it set back in July. The release on Friday of the Federal Reserve's favourite inflation number, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, showed that it rose 0.2% in July, according to the Commerce Department. Yearly inflation was at 2.5%. That was in line with both the previous month and with economists' forecasts, after stripping out food and fuel prices, both of which jumped around. A core index was up 2.6% from a year earlier. Separately, data showed that consumer spending, which accounts for more than two-thirds of US economic activity, rose 0.5% last month, after advancing by an unrevised 0.3% in June. The increase was in line with economists' expectations. After adjusting for inflation, consumer spending gained 0.4% after rising 0.3% in June, and implied that spending momentum continues from the second quarter, when it helped to boost GDP for 3% annualized. The US economy grew at a 1.4% pace in the January to March quarter, and the Atlanta Fed raised its third quarter GDP growth estimate to 2.5% from a 2% pace previously. As Wells Fargo's US economist said, paychecks are growing slightly faster than inflation, and this is allowing consumers to spend, at least for now. A key concern is that if the jobs market gets worse amid a policy environment that remains too restrictive, income would slip. The wage gains are still encouraging for July, but we are sceptical that pay will continue to rise at such a solid pace if there is further softening in jobs. The data added to expectations for the Fed to cut rates as soon as next month, with traders now pricing in a 68% chance of a 25 basis point cut, but now only a 30% chance of a 50 basis point cut, compared with 37% just last week. This reading should provide Chair Powell and the broader FOMC with continued comfort to proceed with rate cuts beginning in September's meeting, Macquarie said in the note. The Dow Jones Industrial Average finished up 0.55% to 41,563. That's reaching the second consecutive record high close. The benchmark S&P 500 gained 1.01% to 5,648, and the Nasdaq Composite gained 1.13% to 70,709. For the month, the Dow finished up 1.8%, the S&P 500 added 2.3%, and the Nasdaq gained 0.6%. The volatility index, which measures the implied volatility of the S&P 500 options, was down 4.5% to just 15. The best performers of the session on the Dow Jones were Intel, which rose 9.49%, and Amazon added 3.7%, and IBM was up 1.62%. The worst performers were Salesforce, which fell 1.6%, Amex, which declined 0.46%, and Apple, which was down 0.34%. Chipmaker Nvidia, which has benefited from bets on AI, alone has counted for roughly a quarter of the S&P 500's year-to-date gain. The latest report showed that margins were being compressed as their suppliers lifted prices, and while revenue, earnings, cash flow, and capital return were all robust and likely to support an uptrend, slowing growth, and growth which is already priced in, may limit upside. Perhaps the question should be how deep a pullback Nvidia may provide, because macroeconomic factors impact the market. And September is typically a very poor month for chip stocks. Nvidia shares could fall. At the very least, investors should expect increased volatility over the next month. As the market's fortunes keep rising and falling with big tech stocks such as Apple and Nvidia, investors are also putting money in less loved value stocks and small caps, which are expected to benefit from low interest rates. The equal weight S&P 500 index, a proxy for the average stock, hit a fresh record high this week and is up 10.5% year-to-date, narrowing its performance gap with the S&P 500. Many investors view this broadening trend, which picked up steam last month before faltering during the early August sell-off, as a healthy development in a market rally narrowly led by just a cluster of giant tech names. The market's rotation has recently accelerated, with 61% of stocks in the S&P 500 outperforming the index in the past month, compared to 14% outperforming over the past year. But the so-called Magnificent Seven group of tech giants, which includes Nvidia and Tesla and Microsoft, have underperformed the other 493 stocks in the S&P 500 by 14 percentage points since the release of a weaker-than-expected US inflation report back on July the 11th, according to Bank of America. Shares of Dell Technologies rose 4% on Friday after robust demand for its AI-powered servers prompted the company to raise its full-year earnings and revenue forecast. Dell, which supplies servers and related infrastructure to enterprises, bolstered its AI push through a partnership with chip giant Nvidia earlier this year. With Nvidia's tech stack, Dell is attracting mid-sized customers to upgrade their servers with AI capabilities. Despite recent market volatility, Barclays analysts maintain that the AI investment theme remains robust. The bank said in a note on Friday that while equities have been navigating various challenges, such as the Jackson Hole meeting, Nvidia's earnings and upcoming payroll data, the broader AI narrative continues to be a driving force in the market. Well, we'll see about that. US government bonds rallied in early August after a weaker than expected US jobs report and a surprise Bank of Japan rate hike, which of course wreaked havoc in currency carry trades and drove heavy selling of risky assets. The yield on benchmark US 10-year notes, which moves inversely to prices, rose to 3.905%, while the 2-year yield, which typically moves in step with interest rate expectations, rose to 3.919%. The dollar steadied near a 1-week high versus a basket of other major currencies, on track to snap a 5-week losing streak, although it still is heading for around a 2.5% monthly loss. The US dollar index futures was up 0.36% to 101.73, and against the yen, the dollar stood 146.18, and that was set to lose more than 2.5% for the month, as pressure eased on the Japanese currency on the prospect of narrowing interest rate differentials. Oil prices fell as concerns about demand and the prospect of bigger supplies from OPEC Plus weighed on crude prices. Brent crude futures for October delivery settled down to $77.03 a barrel. That's marking a decline of 2.4% for the month. And US West Texas Intermediate crude futures settled down 3.11% to $73.64, a drop of 1.7% on the week and a 3.6% decline in August. Of course, geopolitical tensions remain on the table, so prices may well swing around ahead. Gold futures for December delivery were down 0.97% to $2,535.90 a troy ounce, but were still up 2.8% over the month and finished actually one of the most defiant summers in memory. Gold rallied to new record highs in recent months. Normally, gold tends to drift sideways to lower over the early summer period before it rallies in the autumn. On average, during gold's 20 bull market years since 2001, It's rallied 2.6% through the entire market summer. But during the summer of 2024, gold has tripled this seasonal average. First, because of a strong belief that the Fed will be easing its monetary policy for the rest of the year and well into 2025. Second, there is a strong structural demand from global investors and traders seeking to diversify their portfolios amid very high stock market valuations and, of course, from certain central banks. And third, investors are attempting to hedge the risks stemming from geopolitical instability in the Middle East and ahead of the US presidential elections. On the other hand, the main risk for gold at this point is that it may experience a strong downward correction in the case that the US economy remains strong and spurs inflation stronger than expected. By the way, silver was still last at 29.247, still well off peaks of over $30 that we saw back in May. In Europe, the stocks 600 index closed up 0.09% after touching a recent record intraday high, while Britain's FTSE index hit over a three-month high on Friday, clocking gains for the topsy-turvy month, with real estate shares in the lead as hopes that interest rates will be cut remained firm, while energy shares tumbled on demand concerns, capping intraday gains. It still registered its second straight monthly gain and third consecutive weekly advance. Meanwhile, British house prices unexpectedly fell in August for their first monthly drop since April, but the outlook for the property market is likely to be strengthened as rate cuts continue from the Bank of England. At the close in Frankfurt, the DAX fell just a little to 18,898, having hit a record earlier, while the CAC 40 was at 7,630.95. Inflation in the Eurozone fell to its lowest level in 3 years in August, setting the stage for a further cut at the ECB next month. The Euro-US dollar was down 0.2% at 1.1048, having declined on Thursday after softer than expected German inflation data increased bets on further European Central Bank rate cuts. In individual stocks, Anglo-American signed agreements with Chinese fertilizer companies Sciochem Fertilizer and Benfeng AMP to develop the market for polyhalite fertilizer products in China, even as it slowed the development of its mine for the mineral in northern England. The miner was down 1.3%. The best performer of the session on the DAX was Siemens Energy, which rose 1.76%, while the worst performer in the session was Zalando, which fell 2.46%, while Airbus Group declined 1.27%. In Asia, Asian stocks rose on Friday as technology stocks recovered from Nvidia-induced losses, while year-end bargain buying saw Chinese shares rebound from more than six-month lows. But most regional markets were still headed for a loss in August as they struggled to recover from debilitating losses clocked the beginning of the month. MSCI's broadest index of Asia-Pacific shares outside Japan rose 0.48%, ended the month 2% higher. Japan's Nikkei 225 and TOPIX indices rose about 0.7% and 0.6% respectively, while Japan's Nikkei, following its early August collapse, was down 1.6% for the month, and the TOPIX was down a similar amount. Core inflation in Japan's capital city, Tokyo, accelerated for a fourth straight month in August, according to data released on Friday, with the 2.4% price increase signaling further Bank of Japan rate cuts ahead as private spending strengthened further amid higher wages. But industrial production and retail sales data for July both missed expectations. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite indices rose 1% and 0.5% respectively, are among the better performers for the day, although they were still set to lose between 3 and 4% across August. Chinese markets benefited chiefly from some month-end bargain buying as local markets were walloped by persistent capital outflows through August. They were also by far the worst performers in Asia over the month. But Hong Kong stocks vastly outperformed their Asian counterparts this month, with the Hang Seng rising 1.1% on Friday and a 2.6% gain in August. Strong earnings from several technology heavyweights spurred a wave of bargain buying into the sector throughout August, with analysts seeing several major Chinese internet names trading at attractive discounts. South Korea's KOSPI rose 0.6% on Friday as technology stocks recovered from losses in the prior session, but an extended rout in the sector through most of August put the KOSPI on course for a 3.3% monthly loss. India's Nifty 50 index blew past their global peers to hit record highs on Thursday, and on Friday closed at 25,253.90, a continued seller performance compared with other exchanges. In passing, we should note that the Pacific Island Forum has removed references to Taiwan from a communique issued on Friday after the region's annual leaders' meeting, after complaints by China's envoy. The bloc of 18 nations includes 3 members with diplomatic ties to Taiwan and 15 members who recognize China, a major infrastructure lender to Pacific Islands countries where Beijing is seeking to increase its security presence. A communique released on Friday on the forum's website included a section headed Relations to Taiwan / Republic of China, stating leaders reaffirmed the 1992 leaders' decision on relations with Taiwan and the Republic of China. The communique was removed from the website on Friday evening after an angry response from China, and a new document was posted on Saturday morning with the reference to Taiwan removed. Another critical question is the trend for iron ore, a critical support for the Australian economy, of course, and also linked to the economic prospects in China. Citi Research flagged that while the iron ore market is currently facing challenges, there are important factors to consider when assessing whether it's time to, quote, catch the falling knife or wait for further developments. The price of iron ore currently is hovering in the mid-80s US and is approaching significant cost support levels, they say. Our view that iron ore could hit $85 a ton in the next 3 months has received very little pushback, the analyst said. The key questions from investors revolve around what the various iron ore price levels imply for steel demand in China, the data points to monitor for signs of a rebound, and the surprises in the market dynamics over the past 3 months. In recent months, some positive surprises have provided support for iron ore demand. The use of scrap in steel production has notably decreased, which in turn boosts demand for iron ore. Additionally, iron ore inventories at steel mills have remained low, averaging just 18 days of use compared to the historical average of 27 days. This is despite record high inventories in ports. Furthermore, steel inventories at distributors and mills are near 5-year lows for this time of year. On the negative side, though, the anticipated stimulus from China has not materialized. The total social financing has contracted, potentially leading to the largest decline in decades if it continues. Additionally, property starts in China have fallen to levels not seen since 2005, and infrastructure orders remain stagnant, particularly in the shrinking TSF. Citi suggests focusing on several key indicators for signs of a positive turnabout in the iron ore market. A shift in TSF growth trends could signal a rebound in Chinese steel demand, providing the most reliable indicator of a bullish trend. Additionally, signs of a bottoming in property data, although unlikely to reach 2019 levels, could indicate improving sentiment. Furthermore, significant disruptions in supply from low-cost traditional suppliers could drive up prices. For iron ore prices to stabilize at $85 per ton, China would need to see a 6-9% year-on-year reduction in steel demand from 2023 levels. That scenario is based on Citi's estimate of the price elasticity of supply from non-traditional iron ore sources, domestic Chinese supply, and high-cost traditional supply. During the last major steel downturn in 2015, steel production in China declined by 2.3% year over year, with apparent demand down 4.3%. Seasonally, iron ore prices typically rally from late September to early October, continuing into the Chinese New Year holiday. However, given the current price levels, any rebound is likely to be muted, with expectations capped at around $110 to $120 per ton at best. In terms of supply, there has been no significant disruptions from traditional suppliers like Australia, Brazil, and South Africa, with supply from those sources growing as expected. However, non-traditional supply, which is highly price sensitive, has fluctuated, initially spiking earlier in the year when prices were higher, but declining as prices fell. Chinese domestic supply of iron ore has shown price elasticity, although demand is volatile. Meanwhile, scrap supply, which had normalized after a decline last year, has provided some support for iron ore demand as its use in steel production remains subdued. The current price of iron ore is now approaching the top end of the cost curve for traditional suppliers, with $90 a ton seen as a soft support level and $80 a ton a hard support level. At current prices, the iron ore market is already into the 95th percentile of the cost curve for listed companies, suggesting limited downside potential unless there is a significant shift in demand dynamics. And iron ore inventories at Chinese ports, while ticking down slightly, do remain close to all-time highs. However, it's the inventory levels at steel mills which are particularly telling, currently sitting at just 18 days of use, well below the long-term average. This low level of inventory at steel mills is a strong indicator of demand, as it reflects the mill's readiness to ramp up production when needed. Similarly, steel inventories at distributors and mills are at their lowest levels in 5 years, underscoring the cautious approach in the market and the potential for a future rebound in iron ore demand once those inventories need replenishing. Well, we'll see about that too, I guess. Anyway, the Australian share market finished near a record high on Friday as higher oil prices and a final flurry of better-than-expected results from the earnings season helped secure the benchmark's third straight week of gains. The benchmark ASX 200 index added 0.6% to 8,091 at the closing bell. Buoyed by 8 out of the 11 sectors, the index notched a 0.9% gain over the 5 trading days. Shares were up more than 3% over the past 3 weeks. Energy stocks were among the best performing, tracking a higher crude oil price, which was buoyed by stronger than expected preliminary gross domestic product figures from the US overnight on Thursday. Woodside Energy firmed 2.1% to $27.19, and Santos rose 0.8% to $7.22. The industrial sector was among the best performing on Friday, climbing 1.7%. It was led by contractor Downer EDI. Shares climbed 17% to $5.59 after the company swung to an $82 million annual profit. The company had reported a $386 million loss a year earlier, driven primarily by write-downs. Qantas also drove the sector higher, rising 5.6% to $6.71 after several analysts upgraded their price targets for the stock following its full-year results on Thursday. In corporate news, the damning findings of a review of Star Entertainment commissioned by the New South Wales Casino Regulator were made public on Friday. Shares were halted before the report was made public. The release of the company's earnings report was also delayed. Ramsay Health Care shares slumped 6.8% to $41.55 after the private hospital operator said patient growth would slow this year as it warned that cost inflation was hurting margins recovery. And TPG Telecom said it would cut jobs to counter sustained inflation pressures after its interim net profit slid 40% to $29 million. Shares rose 8.3% to $4.96. Electronics and furniture retailer Harvey Norman shares dropped 6.3% to $4.58 after net profit slumped by 35% to $352.5 million for the year 23-24. The company held its final dividend payout at 12 cents a share. Data processing outfit Appen tumbled 17.7% to a dollar after the company's group operating revenue declined 18.4% to $113.4 million in the second half due to the termination of a contract by Google. And banks holding up though, with ANZ reaching new highs after recent wobbles, while Macquarie was up again to $250.65. The Aussie slipped back to 67.65 US cents on a stronger US dollar and was at 51.54 UK pence. The ASX 200 rounded out the reporting season on Friday, less than 50 points shy of a record reached last month. That marks a recovery since the market plunged at the start of August after those signs of economic weakness in the US sparked worrisome sky-high interest rates could tip the world's largest economy into a recession. Earnings season has helped propel the ASX back to near-record highs, with retailers hoping for a pickup in sales and dividends lining the pockets of investors. Strong dividends and margins from major banks also helped return confidence to investors and helped push the index back near the record highs in a matter of weeks. But not everyone is convinced that the renewed confidence is warranted. That includes Maple Brown Abbott Chief Investment Officer Gareth Rossler, who said that the lower earnings outlook and sky-high prices had placed the index at historically expensive levels. The consumer is hanging on by the skin of their teeth, he said. There was plenty of evidence of that on Friday when monthly figures released by the ABS showed that retail trade had flatlined in July, missing expectations of a 0.3% rise. The mining and energy sectors had ranked amongst the worst performing in August, weighed down by commodity prices, with BHP, Rio and Fortescue all down since reporting their results, dragged by declines in the iron ore price and a weak outlook for the Chinese steel market. But at the end of the market, it was technology which soared more than 10%, retaining its position as the best performing of the ASX 11 sectors. Much of that rise can be attributed to a stellar result from the sector's largest stock, logistics giant WiseTech, which has rallied by more than 25% since reporting bullish revenue and earnings growth forecasts for financial year 25. And finally, in crypto, Bitcoin was last at $59,063, having failed to hold above the $60,000 level. Crypto exchange Coinbase witnessed the withdrawal of nearly $500 million worth of Bitcoin, as a total of 7,999 Bitcoins, or roughly $472.8 million worth, left the exchange's cold wallet in several transactions this week. Later on, this massive amount of flagship crypto was sent to 50 other unidentified addresses in exact portions of 157 Bitcoins. It remains unknown what stands behind this remarkable activity. Some speculated that it could be one of Bitcoin's ETF issuers, such as BlackRock, for example, which is accumulating crypto despite all the recent setbacks and volatile price movements. But once again, more questions there than answers. And frankly, that's my attitude to the overall markets. The high prices we're seeing at the moment are pushing stocks to levels which I do think are unsustainable. September and October tend to be weak months, and there are some global uncertainties which could bear down, as well as, of course, the question of the trajectory of interest rates and inflation in several economies. So enjoy these peaks while we have them. I suspect the journey over the next couple of months will be certainly volatile and potentially lower. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.